I hope that recording has started. Although I get some information that my internet connection is not that stable. Okay. Hello, everyone. It's Paweł Pawlak speaking. Welcome on the next SecCom meeting. Let me jump directly to the topics that I'd like us to cover today. So, maybe for the status update section, we just completed last week the analysis of the M3 checklist. And maybe I could share with you some dedicated slides as a summary of this analysis. And we could have some point of the discussion on it. Could you please confirm that you can see this presentation? I uploaded it to the wiki, so if you want, you can look on it. And let me enlarge it. Okay, so we had some M3 security questions. So I don't know if you had opportunity to look on it. There are some points that are part of the M3. Let's say milestone, and for the security section there are 5 questions. One is okay, whether there is a vulnerability table fulfilled and updated, if there is a commitment of the project to enable a transport level encryption and possibility to turn it off, if the ports are documented or all open ports, whether there was a provision of the communication policy to OAM and integration, and if there is a plan to address M4 critical and high vulnerabilities in the third-party libraries used by the project. And in general, after there's some discussion, we had some points to clarify with the modeling project, but finally all projects were approved from our perspective. We seen that portal team, they are short in resources and they should get some additional resources, maybe some support from the community to move on. Maybe we should work with the DCI team to check for the known vulnerabilities. I discussed with Vijay. He mentioned that Tony, you helped them to go through this. So I think that it will be just a simple review of the items, because comparing with other projects, maybe they have quite a lot of requests to have an exception. There is a point for the discussion I'd like to check with you for the provisioning policy, communication policy provisioning to OAM and integration team, because some people, they could not understand clearly what is the scope of this question and how it compares to the previous one, which was aiming at provisioning of the open ports. So do you have any comments, guys, on this? Because maybe the communication policy is a bit more than just ports opened, but also the direction in which ports should be opened, what kind of privilege right, is it read only, or you know, it's if it's for some API, if you have post or get, or you know, this clarification on the communication. Any thoughts, guys? Because maybe for the next release we could make some update of this question to ensure that everyone could easily understand what should be delivered in this point.
Could you put the 2 questions back up?
Okay, of course.
I think that'll be helpful for everybody.
Yes, you can see on the center of the screen. So for the first question, has the project documented all open ports information? Okay, there is a list of the open ports, but no indication on which purposes of this port, what kind of communication, in which direction, what is allowed or not, right? And my guess is that the question about the communication policy to OAM and integration could be extension of the ports port list. But guys, do you recall the meaning of this question?
Yeah, I'm hoping somebody from the rest of the group remembers the why we put the two in there.
Because we have a how to recommended protocols. Okay, so it's a reference to recommended protocols, but the question from my perspective doesn't recall the recommended protocols. I would say rather the explanation of the communication, which is necessary for the project, right?
Pavel, isn't this related to this network segmentation that we've been discussing during Paris face-to-face with integration team? I'm not sure if you remember, but they mentioned that they would like to introduce some kind of tool on Kubernetes to set up suitable network rules in order to stop allowing all the services, every service to communicate with every other one, and just put them in a separate, I don't know how to say this, tenants or subnets or things like that, and allow only the communication that is required. So here I would expect, for example, a list of components that this service will need to communicate with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it makes sense. But one thing is that the components... Yes, Amy?
No, finish, Powell.
So the components, but also the which direction of communication is needed, right? And which assuming that this is RESTful API, right? We have REST API and we have some what messages are accepted, right?
Okay.
This would make sense for me.
Yeah. So I think that the how-to may not be the right thing to put there, because recommended protocols was just saying, or it's not complete, because recommended protocols essentially was giving versions to use. And while that's important, that does not capture the fact that what we really want to know is what are the components that should be talking to your project, your project.
Yes, and what kind of communication is needed, right? If it's bidirectional, unidirectional, what messages are accepted? Yeah. So maybe for the next release, we could make some update of this question to ensure that projects would easily understand what is really needed, right? I don't hear any objections, so we will take this action point.
I think that for El Alto, we really need to clarify this one and on the how-to, and maybe we need to get something set up, you know, basically kind of a table so that they know exactly what they have to fill out.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
The other question I was wondering is, on the OOM node port list, I haven't looked at it in a couple weeks, or a week. I think that just gives the port. It doesn't give the protocol. I mean, you can derive the protocol because, you know, it says, what's the external port? Then it's talking, you know, okay, so here's the internal port. So if it's 8080, you know, it's HTTP. If it's 443, you know, it's HTTPS, you know, for the others. But
so this means that we should modify the question, all open port information, port and protocol information, right? And then it would be like a pair of port and protocol, which is expected on this port, right?
Right. But I'm wondering if, because they have to update that OOM node port, and I'm not sure that the OOM team has a place to actually put down what the protocol is and the versions, because, you know, we ultimately care about versions. None of us want people, you know, making it TLS 1.0, for example. So
okay, let me jump to the
I think we do care about that, which goes down to this.
Yeah. I don't recall that there was a dedicated.
Not either.
There was only information about the ports.
Let me look at.
So, I'm opening the. Yeah.
So oh, guys, there is a call.
That's what I remember. I just remember it a two-column list, and it's the external port and the internal port.
There is also protocol column, but it's not filled for most of the projects. Where? This is the empty one.
Oh, okay. Well, then they need to fill in the protocol port.
Oh, there you go. You know what the problem is that, you know, the top of that is very, very top, and you sort of missed it. So, yes. I've never seen the protocol, you know, because I'm always looking for my ports. And so, you know, I think if you just put in a reminder, you know, had I known that, I would have put mine in right away. I assume that HTTPS is, REST isn't really a protocol. Do you want to define what that means? I mean, REST multi-protocol, or do you want to, REST him doesn't have to be HTTPS or anything like that, right? So you want to be a little more specific on that? You see what I'm saying? I mean, REST just means it's, you know, XML or JSON over something.
Yeah, we want to be more specific, I think.
HTTPS or HTTP. Sorry, gay man, stepping.
No. You got it.
Yeah. So be specific. I mean, I don't think REST is the, you know, all of the protocol. So maybe if you just say, you know, maybe if we have examples like HTTPS/REST would be work for me, but, you know, we have to make sure they know what they're doing. In fact, I'll go fix mine. Now that I see that it's there, I just saw the empty, you know, there's a couple acting columns like pod. What's that supposed to be? There's a blank column, you know? So when you're looking at yours, you just fill in what's on top of yours. Right.
Yes, this is the first time exercise, so we should learn from the experience and try to improve it for the next time. So all those comments are very, 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 very important and welcome to ensure that
we would. I want to jump backwards for the previous. I didn't have a chance to interrupt, which was the kinds of services that need to talk to, you know, specifically one other service or something like that. There are cases like, you know, infrastructure, dare I say AAF, which needs to talk to anybody's service, you know, or they need to talk to me, you know, and trying to itemize each one that may or may not talk is kind of pointless. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, you know, things that are supposed to be, you know, generally accessible things, right? And microservices are usually that case as well. Now, if you want to, I think the hidden microservice is actually the special case. It's, you know, maybe it's important for ONAP, but in general for microservices, that's not really the point. And the point is to make things accessible, not hide them everywhere. But, I mean, for ONAP, if that's important, that's fine, but please make provision for things that are supposed to be public, or at least public within the container. Does that make sense? I mean,
at least for me, come on. If we need to have the service generally available, then go on. It's not a problem. We are not trying here to limit the scope. We are just trying here to collect the data about the communication, right?
Yeah. You know, I just keep running into that with ONAP because they want me to document every, you know, use case where somebody talks to AAF. It's like, well, this is silly, you know. I'm sorry, but, you know, if I had to do this for all 20,000 apps in AT&T, then, you know, it would be, you know, I wouldn't be doing anything else. So, I think we need to differentiate what are common services that are not the one, you know, individual ones versus, you know, things that are important, like I need to be able to talk to this and, you know, have these various APIs working. So I'm just asking, please don't make me go through, you know, 20,000 things because I'll quit.
Jonathan, it's not 20,000. It's like tens. In ONAP, it's like tens of services, right?
No, I'm talking 20,000 apps. You know, if AT&T made me document each and every app that was trying to talk to AAF, I would have 20,000 entries in my use case documentation.
Okay.
And I ain't going to do it. So that's all I'm saying. Infrastructure is different, right? So okay. If we just, you know, if we can make an exception for things that are supposed to be accessible by everybody, I would appreciate it.
So Jonathan, I think that listening to what Jonathan is saying, I think that each project needs to document, and we're already asking them to do that, what is externally available which of your APIs are externally available, that you already know. I think the other applications are going to have to say, okay, I call these APIs from these components. So I think that's up to them. I think that everything has to set that up. Because it isn't just willy-nilly that, oh, gee, I'm going to call this and that. At some point, you can go through your code. You know exactly which API calls you make.
Well, if you're writing something like AI, sure. You know, I don't decry that for those targeted ONAP type things. All I'm saying is there's some kinds of things that are not supposed to be that. Infrastructure is one of them, so I just want to out so I don't have to fill out more paperwork, to be honest.
I don't think you do. I think all you do is you say which one of your APIs are exposed and you're done.
Well, that's what I should be.
Because you're really not calling.
I'm just saying in the other ONAP exercises, they wanted me to itemize, everybody that's coming in, It's like, I don't have time.
No,
Thank you. The other thing I wanted to point out is that, when you're talking Kubernetes, now you're talking about three levels of accessibility. It's not just public, but what's now, inside of the container that's, pseudo-public, right? Or, medium, what can talk to anything else in the container, and then what is, then, some other subnet. So, I hate to say this, but doing it makes it really complex to get anything done. If you're starting to do that, you better be ready for the fact that now you've got three levels of accessibility simply by network, as opposed to, the network as a given. See what I'm saying? Now, maybe that's a good security methodology. I'm not going to decry it, but even AF, I have to be able to expose things that are public, but I can't, but nothing in the container can actually come back out through the public ports and talk to AF. So I have to expose it both from the public perspective, but also internal ports, which is, really complex. See what I'm saying? So there's public ports, and then there's, the fact that microservices can't talk to public ports from inside the container. That's really nasty. I'm just telling you that, the more we do this, the more everybody spends time doing network connectivity things instead of real work. Just a little warning.
For the moment, we are focusing on more simple, high-level view on the port and communication. Maybe in the future there will be a need to cover this point, but I don't think we are at the stage to go so deeply.
Well, I only brought it up because it was already talked about before
the port. It's very important that you raise this point.
I just want to make sure everybody knows that it is a deep topic and it's very complex to set up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just an easy thing to say, oh, I'm going to lock my network out. And so now only these guys are able to talk to it. Well, suddenly that adds lots of networking complexity that you really weren't ready for. Mm. I'm just telling, from experience with trying to work with some of this stuff.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
Network complexity. Yeah, okay. I'm done. Thank you.
There is also a last point. Oh, yes, please. Samuli.
Yeah, we had the same problematics because it is a complex thing, as you say, in reviewing of the ONAP security requirements. So we want to recheck a couple of requirements with someone who is really good on Kubernetes networking in this area. So this is correct.
So let's park this point to have it further elaborated. I think it's very important to have it in mind. Last point from this M3 analysis is that we might have a need to show some added value of opening Jira tickets in some dependency projects. We had some exchanges with PAM, and the key point here is that on one side, when there are some dependencies between the projects, we need to ensure that there are some Jiras opened between the projects, and to expose the value of doing it, right? And we had some exchanges with Amy on that. We will have some further discussion, but I think it is really important to have those Jiras opened internally in ONA, but also externally, like in ODL and so on. But for ODL, I will have some more points later on. Any comments, guys, on this?
Pavel, I would like to go back to the node port list case. Because I have a suggestion that I think that we should definitely change the form that we are collecting it.
You can see it now or not?
Yeah, I can see it. But okay. The problem is that we should have this documented per every ONAP release. And the problem is that this page is not versioned in that way. So whenever ONAP is released, the information about the ports is getting lost because it's overwritten by the next release. And for now, if you like to deploy Beijing and just get the declared list of open ports, it's not really possible, or it's not very easy. So okay, I think we should use Git repository for that and place a tag with every release like we do in every other repository and put this in read the docs.
Yeah, good point.
Read the docs would make it good. Yeah.
Nice. Very good initiative. Very good point. Thank you.
And especially that we could use this. You remember the script that I sent you, right? Mm. So I think it would be good to have, the declared state, and then have a script that would check the deployment that you have, and check this with the declaration. And if something is missing, or for example, some project declared that they are using HTTPS and they are not, we should have this catched by the integration, right?
Yeah. We had some meeting with integration team, so we give you some update in a few minutes on that. But thank you, Krzysztof, for this comment. Let me come back to the presentation itself. Okay. No, not this one. Can you see the agenda agenda slide?
Nope, still node port list.
No, okay. So I need to new share. Now it's better, right?
Yeah.
No, it okay. Works.
So coming back to the agenda, we had some meeting with Yang and Gary with Amy last week. And Amy, would you like to give some brief overview of the action points?
Sure, let me pull up my notes. Okay. My notes were pretty bad. So we got, Krzysztof is sending the script. Okay, so Gary and, at a high level, Gary and Yang agreed that yes, we need to have a tighter integration between SecCom and the integration team. They have agreed that they can do both. They can both build in, do the tests to scan, to see whether if encryption is enabled on the open ports, and Krzysztof has that script that he provided them. In addition, there was Samsung had developed a script to look for certain types of testing software. It was the JDWP. I think that was the product. So they've agreed that they will run both of those tests within integration. I think now it's a question of just getting to the proper level of running those. The third thing we talked about was the having the Kubernetes versus the not the versions of Kubernetes, Docker, and Java that we were using. I think everybody here is aware that we're using an old version, actually a version of Java that's no longer supported, and we need to get everybody migrated to Java 11. That's been deferred to El Alto because everybody's got to prepare for it. So I think that's got to be something that's raised very early on with the way before El Alto, so everybody plans for it and can do their testing.
And we need to also synchronize with other projects, like with ODL, and we had some exchanges with Alexis, and they are also considering moving to Java 11. So this movement should be somehow coordinated. It may impact some of the projects at the ONAP level, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also at the LFN level, I think, because ODL is an LFN.
Yeah.
The good news is Yang will be at the face-to-face. Gary wasn't sure if he would be there, but since it's local travel for him, hopefully he will be there.
So we hope to continue the discussion and exchanges on these topics. Okay. Regarding the subcommittee face-to-face meeting for the minicamp and sharing some best practices, there is ongoing, there are some ongoing exchanges on the building the agenda. I don't know. Initially, we plan to have like 3 hours meeting for the mini camp and 1 full day for the internal face-to-face. I need to check with Steve for the rooms availabilities for that. For the moment, proposed agenda, I would say, provides some opportunities to discuss with other sub-communities on some topics like non-functional requirements for El Alto, but we wanted to have some additional meetings. But this is, let's say, ongoing topic, so it's difficult for me to say how it finally be organized. But anyway, we'll move on with the face-to-face, and we will move on, I hope, with the mini camp, but we need to check for the availabilities of the rooms, and maybe duration of the mini camp could be a little bit shorter than 3 hours, right? Because we may have not that long slot for that. But anyway, we will have some lot of opportunities to exchange with other sub communities and with the community, ONAP community in general, right?
Just to say, I posted a couple of possible agenda topics in this JIRA ticket, SECCOM 224.
Yes, so, I've seen. These are very good, very good proposals. I will maybe jump directly to this JIRA, so everyone could see. Okay. Would you like to comment, Samuli, on that?
Yeah, I can very briefly. Yeah, so as it's coming up, so the. Okay, it's coming up slowly. So if you scroll down, yeah, there the first one is something where Srini actually last week promised to give an update. He will be there in San Jose. It's around, yeah, credential protection and management. I think it's a kind of a bigger area in a sense, and maybe there are or maybe should multiple components in ONAP somehow be part of this total solution in the end. And I think it's good to have an update, first of all, from Srini, and maybe then think of what is really our target and wanted solution, maybe even on the kind of from security architecture perspective and things like this. And the second one is is actually, I noticed it's a bit related to this other JIRA number 93. You don't need to open it, but somehow to have an also a bit of a architectural big picture view of ONAP as deployed in operator network. How is it interworking with the LDAP or other user repository there, and how does the ONAP user authentication authorization and the XNF authentication authorization happen? I think many of these are maybe more to maybe confirm that kind of assumptions I list here are maybe correct, but you never know, of course. And finally, the RBAC, I even listed that because that has now been taken up as in the architecture subcommittee, and I guess we also have it maybe on today's agenda. So all these topics somehow.
Yes, the point is just a small update. We just had some ad hoc meeting a few minutes ago with John from Verizon, and I think it would be good to have a dedicated meeting, maybe on Friday, mm-hmm. I think Jonathan, if you would be available Friday morning your time, depending on your availabilities, we could set up some short discussion with John on the architecture, because he was considering some external LDAP. I think it would be good to consult also with you this approach and what functionalities are available in AF, how AF is going to have its evolution, right, in the next releases. So I think that everyone interested in the topic could be invited, and I think it would be good to have this security discussion before the architectural meeting, so we could have a good visibility on what is available today and what is proposed by Verizon. So, Jonathan, from your perspective,
was that this Friday or
this Friday? Yeah. It would be this Friday.
That's fine. I can do it around this time. You know, hour later. You know, that kind of thing. And I'm basically free on the morning, so if you want to set that up, I could do that.
Okay. So the everyone would be invited if interested in RBAC. Capabilities, John could provide us the presentation of what is crucial in RBAC from Verizon perspective, and we could have some technical discussion on AF, its sidecar, and you know, to have it done before the architectural meeting, because we'll have some short slots on Tuesday provided by Steve. So I would prefer to have some kind of conclusion or more exchanges with architectural guys on the architecture itself. Okay. So, So I will try to arrange for this Friday morning for US guys in afternoon for the European colleagues. Okay, I take the action for this.
And you will include the whole ONAP second.
Yes, right? Exactly. Okay. So we will invite everyone from the SecCom, so we could have like 1 hour discussion on the technical aspects of RBAC.
Special session.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It's like special session of Congress.
Limited edition special. Okay, let me come back to the sharing here. Regarding the update of the vulnerabilities management process, so Krzysztof, I think that we are not that far away, I hope, from the final version of the JIRA project that would be compliant with our needs, right?
I'm not really sure about that one.
Come on, be positive.
come on. We are struggling with that for 2 weeks or something like that now. It should be easy. Come on. It cannot be so hard.
yes, but I see a lot of dynamism of exchanges between you and Bengt, and I believe that and there is some light in the tunnel already, right? And it's not a train that is coming in front of you, but rather you are coming out of the tunnel. I hope so.
I hope so. The last problem that we have and we have to fix somehow is adding additional people to certain tickets, right? Mm-hmm. But now we have only groups. I mean, security, public and private, let's call it, or public and secure. And we need also secure plus someone. If we manage to work this out, then we are ready.
Mm. Okay. So I cross my fingers. If you need any support, just let us know. Sure. I hope there are some exchanges. So I think it's moving in the right direction. For the non-functional requirements, okay, I think it will be part of day one of the face-to-face. And there is some intention to ensure that all subcommittees would have opportunity to address the El Alto requirements. So I think maybe next week our call could be focused on this, first internally to discuss and then to have some further discussion on the face-to-face and also with other people outside of SecCom. For the static code scanning, as you know, we had a meeting with the white software and we plan to do a meeting with LFN colleagues. On Monday, some of them were maybe not available, and I hope that in coming days we could have some further exchanges on their perception of the white software. As Amy shared some information, I think last week, in general, LFN is building some kind of environment friendly to security. So we need to have some more feedback from LFN on that, and what kind of software would be available for that. But we'll see. Samuli, some summary of the last Monday meeting. We had a good rhythm, right? Good exchanges.
Yes, very good actually. So I don't know. We have maybe reviewed some, maybe 15 or 20 requirements so far altogether, and I think there is quite a lot still to go through.
The key point is to provide comments as you did, like Karin, like Natasha. So we had some, you know, it's better to comment something that is written and to have some finalized version based on what is discussed. And if there are a lot of people there, we can have maybe a better wording or final proposal, right? So please don't hesitate, guys, to look at for the next, I don't know, 5 items. Can you remind which are now under discussion starting from Monday? Which numbers?
Yes, sure. We will start next Monday, and everyone or the whole list always get the invitation. So next Monday we will go. Just 1 second. We start from the SecCom 1270.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's safe to say that 5 to 10 to reviewed before the meeting is a good approach to have more fruitful meetings.
I think so.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Samuli. So I switch to the next slide. So we have a Casablanca maintenance release vulnerability review. I've completed it. I have some slides, but I'm not sure if there is enough time to go through it. In general, I think that we are reviewing with Amy the process itself to ensure that we would have enough time, and also project to have enough time between M4 and RC0 for the review. We are trying to optimize the process to save time on both sides, on our side and on the PTL side. And I think that the Casablanca maintenance release review was a good exercise for the Dublin release, and a lot of projects, they They are putting already some JIRAs for all the items, and the key point will be to also to follow up the JIRAs, and maybe for the next release, around beginning of the release, to see if there was a follow-up for the upgrades and so on. And one more point, it is very crucial to have not only declaration that we need to upgrade some component, but also declaration of when it is planned to be done. Like a sentence, we need to upgrade it by some sprint in R4 or maybe in some R5. So we could have some kind of milestone which should be checked at some point of time in the future. Amy, any comments from your side for that?
No, you covered everything. Thank you.
Okay, great. I don't know if we have some points now for the S3P revision for Dublin. Maybe it's more the topic that we could discuss on the face-to-face. Amy, what do you think, Tony?
Tony, I don't think you're going to be at the face-to-face, are you? I think that Tony said he wouldn't anyway. And I think that at this point, the S3P revisions would be for El Alto.
Sorry,
I think
what
we know
the
what
question?
The point was, Tony... Yes, Tony, we were considering if we can do S3P revision for Dublin for during the face-to-face, but we guessed that you already mentioned that it will be not possible for you to join us, right?
No, I will not be at the face-to-face unless I can do it virtually.
But maybe, do you think we should have some dedicated call for that, just to align on the status on the point was what levels for the silver passing would be good enough, right?
And I think that what the decision was finally made by the TSC was that projects would get to a passing badge. They would increase they would all have to be at least 55% code coverage. And they would maintain what they had done for silver. That was ultimately what the TSC decided. So I think we're now to the point of making this, what do we want to do S3P for El Alto?
But do we plan to review it? To review the answers for the Dublin?
I think we have to.
Yes, I think so. That's why, in order to first review what was answered for the Dublin, make maybe some roundtable with the PTLs. I hope that there would not be need to explain some questions and to evaluate answers, and then to see okay what is feasible for the El Alto, right? Just to rely on what was provided for Dublin.
Right.
Okay, so...
Should that be part of the... Do you think that should be part of the mini-camp?
Yeah, but before mini-camp, we would have to go through the answers, right? And then to have an opportunity just to review the points that we believe are crucial for the PTLs to better understand some questions or maybe to have more clarified answers.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm fine with doing the analysis. Maybe we could share the responsibilities, I mean, to split the work between a few people, at least, to make it a bit faster, and then to have some exchanges on the conclusion, and then to go back to the PTS on the minicamp. I think it would be very valuable action on the minicamp time frame. Okay. Obviously, I volunteer to run it, but if somebody would like to run it with me, it's very welcome. Because it's like.
So Tony, what can you extract out of your your dashboard that shows the CII badging results for the various projects, for the ONAP project, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Say that again.
What can you, I think that the crux of this is to look at what the projects have completed in terms of the CII badging, what you have on your dashboard, what you have on your dashboard, because that makes it a lot easier to look and see what they've done and not done.
I think it'd be worthwhile like doing this offline and just pulling up the dashboard and taking a look at the things that most of the projects seem to have gotten done, and or a significant number, and picking some of those that we think every project should be able to get this one done, and every project should be able to get this one done, and every project should be able to get this one and done. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be a working session where we do that and actually decide on.
Okay. It makes sense. So maybe we could have some dedicated session on that, like a 1 hour meeting on, I don't know, Tuesday. But before the architectural meeting, would it be okay for you or a bit too early for US guys?
What time is the architecture meeting again?
I think it's like the same time like we have right now. So it's 3
p.m. Oh, okay. Yeah, I can.
So it's like two.
The hour before is good for me.
Tony, for you, would it be fine? So it's like 2 p.m. UTC. So I don't know what is your time zone. No, sorry, 2 p.m. is the architectural meeting. So for us, it would be like 1 p.m. UTC. Tony, are you with us? Okay, in the meantime, just an update for you about the Java. So as I mentioned before, we have some ongoing exchanges internally in the ODL to have a final statement on when they are going to switch from Java 8 to Java 11. I added the link in the presentation. The presentation is already available on the wiki. So if you're interested, you can go and check for the details in which release it could be implemented in ODL and what strategy they are willing to implement for the switching between Java 8 and 11. I think it makes sense. So I encourage you to have a look and we could have some further discussion if needed on that point. I'm working on the presentation about the ONAP security for the ONS North American conference. I don't know if it's going to be selected, so we'll see. But it will be like an overview of what activities we are running on the ONAP SecCom. And I hope we could have some opportunities to exchange with other LFN projects or maybe even outside of LFN.
Yeah, I had a look at this topic, and first of all, I am actually joining as well the ONS, so I'm
happy
if I can join in.
Of course, you are very welcome.
Yeah. So I have some idea, maybe.
Okay. So we could have some exchanges on that. I can share with you the presentation I prepared so far.
And okay.
More than happy to have your comments and yes. On that. okay, I take the action to share it with you, and we could have some small dedicated meeting to discuss it.
Yeah.
Do you have some news regarding the SecCom 228 for the VNF packet security P2, P3?
Yes, I actually updated a bit the text today with the latest let's say activity on Etsy.
Okay, Etsy, great. Yeah. Great, thank you.
So it's still in very short. It is still not the Etsy specs related to topic 2 and 3. They are not either published, or there is also actually a change request coming up to make the individual artifact signing mandatory, because apparently that has not been mandatory by the specs so far. And,
okay.
A short,
guys, you are very welcome to volunteer to lead SecCom 227 for the static code scans, and SecCom 226 for credential protection and management. So if any of you would like to share your expertise and help us to update the information that is available on the wiki, so we could finally go with this to the TSC and get their approval to become like a best practice, this effort would be very appreciated. So any volunteers? Okay, so maybe next time. I've created a new Jira for the M4 checklist review. So I hope, Amy, you could join me in this analysis. But if some of you would be also interested in helping, don't hesitate to come back to us. We have a new Jira opened by Amy for the HTTPS. Amy, shortly, would you like to give some?
Sure. This is the enabling HTTPS. As you know, Samsung did a pen test, and we discovered a number of different the projects actually have their endpoints exposed via HTTP instead of HTTPS. We've documented all that over on the secure, on the protected area of our wiki, and we have notified the PTLs to please go out and look at this. We reported it in the PTL session on Monday, so hopefully they will be fixing this. And the good news, as we said earlier, the integration team has agreed to run the scans to make sure that things are exposed via HTTPS, and to report on everything they find that's exposed HTTP.
Any short comments for that from my side? I still didn't get the access to the protected wiki area.
Oh, really?
Okay.
You can influence this or not.
We can keep pestering.
We need to open the ticket again. Was it open already to Kenny or Jessica?
I think it was only email exchange.
Okay. It was email. Did we have to open a ticket?
I think we should open a ticket, so then it's
okay.
It. Because
you mean the ticket on Linux Foundation help desk?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will open one.
Maybe I will open for you, okay, and put you in copy, so it will be easier.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay,
I will do it immediately. Last but not least, where is my Zoom? Yes, it's here. So we had some meeting, I already mentioned you about the airbag, and we will do it on Friday, the next one. Okay, guys, any points from your side?
Yes, Pavel. I have an update about the proposal to share the experience from Clamp.
Yeah.
I have talked with Clamp PTL, who was on sick leave. And I understood that given their workload, it is going to be extremely difficult for them to do that in a short time frame. So, and they cannot provide me a time right now. So, unfortunately, it will be on hold for an unknown amount of time. Whenever I can get a chance to have a date, or if they have the ability to provide information, I will surely let you know, but right now it's not possible. So as soon as I can get anything, I will let you know, but unfortunately right now it's not possible.
Yeah, okay. I understand. Now people are focused on delivering the Dublin release and not
exactly.
Their priority. But maybe when the release is delivered and before M0 and M1 and so on, we could have some further opportunities. So I thank you, Pierre, and I hope that with your support we could have this session organized in coming weeks or months, right?
Sure, I will let you know as soon as it becomes possible.
Thank you very much.
You're
any
welcome.
Other points, guys? Some updates, some good news you want to share? I don't hear. By the way, I will have some updates to check with Linda and some Nokia colleagues on the XNF, I think we have to set up some dedicated call on that. Linda, are you with us? I think it was for the DCIE, some XNF authentication point.
It was, I remember, it was the, if it will be okay in Dublin to still use plain HTTP, like not TLS. In the earlier materials,
was
approved by TSC. We say that in the lab environment, so to say, it's fine, but it was related to that.
For the moment, it's not that much focus on the TLS, right? I would say it's more HTTP, right? This is my understanding.
Yeah, I mean...
And I think this was for the VES collection.
Yes, exactly. VES collector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TLS will be supported actually there, but the question was kind of, is it still for us okay to not use TLS? I'm not sure if I understood.
Obviously, it would be for the VES collect. It would be best if they did TLS, but if they, I think we just have to look at it. I mean, we don't have to have a two-way TLS, but I guess it's the question of can the XNFs validate the certificate that's presented to them by DCAE. I'm assuming that's the open question here.
Yeah. So I think that we will have to organize some dedicated meeting. I will obviously invite SecCom team if you'd be interested in having this discussion with this topic. Don't hesitate to join us. I will try to check with Linda and the guys here in Poland in Nokia on this topic. I think we just reached the top of the hour. Thank you very much, guys. I hope to hear you next week and the week after, as there will be ONS. I don't know, maybe we could cancel the meeting just for this particular week. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope for some of us there will be some face-to-face opportunity to discuss, and we will give some summary on the next one that would be on the 10th of April. So next week we will have a meeting and the week after not. And thank you very much, guys. Have a nice day or afternoon, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I stop recording.